Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP, and one of them is messaging me.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I was sending you a picture of Sir Patrick, the podcasting cat.
We got derailed in the intro. Today we're going to be playing Space Base, designed by John D. Clare of Mystic Vale and Ecos. And developed by John Goodenough, I remember that name. So yeah, he's the designer of Tide of Iron, Horus Heresy, and Runebound. And the artist is Chris Walton of War Machine and Hordes Primal Mark II. So tabletop games?
Tabletop miniature games, they're basically the same system. One's kind of more sci-fi and the other's kind of more... like fantasy. Monstery. I don't know if that meant. Yeah, fantasy is probably better. And Mark II, because it's the second edition.
And this is published by AEG. In Space Base, players assume the roles of commodores of a small fleet of ships. Ships begin docked at their stations and are then deployed to sectors as new ships are commissioned under your command. Use cargo vessels to engage in trade and commerce, mining vessels to build reoccurring base income, and carriers to spread your influence. Establish new colonies for a new commodore in a sector to gain even more influence. Gain enough influence and you can be promoted to admiral. Mechanics are card drafting and dice rolling. Box art is like some spaceships flying away from a base, and it looks like a very like 80s arcade looking art. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what I immediately thought of, like an arcade game when I saw it?
Yeah, I was thinking 80s
Saturday morning
cartoon.
Yeah. Voltron style or something. Yeah.
All right. So based on all this, would you pull it off a shelf?
I don't know. Like, the art's cool for sure, but I think we all know that like space stuff's not like my immediate like go to. I don't know. It is AEG, and I mean, if depending on what else was at the cafe or on the shelf, like I might be intrigued.
So as we all know, space stuff is my go to. I'm actually less. I like a more realistic art for my space stuff, but I would be intrigued by it to pull it off the shelf. But it's a similar style as Machikoro, which you guys played without me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
even though we tried for years to play this together, you guys played that without me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Still bringing it up.
Yeah.
Episode 7.5, by the way, folks, if you want to go back and listen to our opinions on
Kansas City Shuffle.
I'm kind of with BP on this. Like, I like the art. It's AEG. So I would probably pick it up and look at it just because it's AEG. So my concern is, and just like what Eric is saying, is it's supposed to be like Machikoro. Everybody I've ever listened to has always said like, oh, Space is a better Machikoro. But if you go back and listen to episode 7.5, neither BP or I liked Machikoro.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Is it that you didn't like it because of kind of the core mechanics of it? Or is it just the implementation of it, which I guess we will find out at the end of this one.
We will find out. Yes. So that's my concern, is that it's going to be the same, and neither one of us are going to like it.
How do we think it's played?
Yeah. How do you guys think it's played?
So card drafting and dice rolling is not much to go on.
We're leaving our bases.
So we're going to have ships and we're going to have a base, right?
So we're going to have cards that help us go on missions, I'm supposing.
Yeah. So we're going to have cargo vessels for trade, mining vessels, income,
right.
Carriers. So we're going to have like three types of ships. Maybe our dice are going to determine...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, our dice are which ship is
what
doing
actions
what.
We can take or something.
Yeah.
And then card drafting is.
But we would maybe build because like the mechanics, you know how BGG lists their mechanics and he just copies and pastes. So maybe there's extra mechanics that just aren't listed here. Like, so there is like a hand management. So like. Your card drafting is you're adding into, because you want to like, maybe you want more of that recurring income. So you want to like build up your mining vessels, right? And you want to build up that component of it.
Okay. So like our dice are going to be our actions, and then our cards are going to be like our building up our ships and our fleets and our bases and stuff.
Yes.
Okay. And then what is influence?
I mean, that's how we
is that
win,
like victory
right?
points?
That's what I would assume.
Yeah, because we want to be promoted to admiral. So how? So yeah, what are we scoring on?
Well. So we need money in order to build up the
carrier
other ships,
spread
the
influence.
Carriers to spread our influence. But I mean, you in order to have those carriers, you need to have your money from your mining ventures.
So then our carriers are going to go out to the world and
colonize.
Yeah, I guess that's it, right? We kind of, I think we covered it all. I think we got it.
I think we got all it, right. Kiwi.
For the 10th time, BP, history of space.
Space.
I was going to go with something more finite since when I initially just kind of was like space base, it's like space stations, right? So, I mean, as we now know, if you've listened to multiple podcasts, that the history of the space race grew out of the Cold War. Obviously, there was a lot initially tied to it as far as vehicles that could carry weaponry. And then it was also being able to send stuff into space to not only shoot down that weaponry, but also to monitor the opponents. And so in the 1950s and 60s, there was like this, there is some like fictional history that is obsessed with space travel and things like that in the 19th century. But by and large, like most of it takes off in the 1950s and 60s because of the Cold War, with the Soviet Union, by and large, beating the United States to sending an orbit out, as well as actually in constructing one of the first space stations. It was only up, I want to say, in space for about 6 months, April to October, 71.
Skylab?
No, not Skylab. It was before Skylab. Skylat? Oh. No, Salyut. Salyut 1. Skylab, though, would become, I feel like, one of the most famous ones in the 70s and 80s. The International Space Station that is currently, right, in orbit has been the longest continuously inhabited space station that humans have put up. And it is a multinational, specifically supported by kind of mutual components of now Russia and the United States, since the USSR is no longer. And I guess both nations have submitted with, you know, various countries' backings to have it habitated and in operation so far through to 2030. So it's kind of this ongoing history, if you will, of kind of if the space race grew out of the Cold War, the International Space Station, and these ideas that maybe all those dystopia, science fiction, futuristic Philip Dick books look at for the future of mankind going out into space, the space station would be one of those first efforts, you could say, in that it is this multinational conglomeration of trying to steadily work out how you can live in space. So space station. Tell us how right we were.
I thought you would be closer since BP played Bashikoro, but
I was really counting on her for this one.
I'm glad I could let you both down equally.
In our defense, like, there is not much to go on in the description.
And in my defense, I don't remember this Machikoro that much from a year ago, except being very disappointed.
All right, so the game is going to be played over a series of rounds where players are going to take turns rolling and activating their docked and deployed ships. Other players will be able to use those dice to perform actions as well, and play will continue until a player reaches 40 victory points. So to choose first player, we're all going to draw a ship from the lowest value deck, which is one, and then we're going to pay the cost that's on that card. We're all going to start with 5 credits, and whoever paid the most is going to get first player. And then second and third will gain 2 credits. And if we had a fourth or fifth player, they would also gain an income. Players' turns when you are the, when it's your turn, you are considered the active player and everybody else is a passive player. So the active player is going to roll both dice, and then each player at the table is going to get to decide on how they use those dice. So you can either use them for two individual values, or you can combine them to make a single value. And the values correspond to the sectors on your deck. So you've got 1 through 12 on your player board. For example, if you rolled a 3 and a 4, you could use them as, you could activate your ships in the 3 spot or the 4 and the 4 spot, sorry. Or you could activate the ship in your 7 sector. If you rolled doubles, it's still the same thing. So like if you rolled the 4, you would get to activate the 4 sector twice, or you could activate the 8 sector once. The active player gets to gain the rewards that are in the blue box on the cards, and all the passive players get to activate the red box if they have one for that sector. So the different rewards will have either a blue or a red background. After gaining their rewards, players can activate abilities. So active player can trigger abilities that are blue and green, and the passive players can trigger abilities that are red and green. Finally, the active player can then purchase a card from the shipyard. So there's going to be 18 cards laid out, and if you have the money to pay for a ship, then you can purchase that ship and replace the ship that is in your current sector. So say you bought a new ship for your 7, the ship that's currently there would become deployed, and it's going to get flipped over and display its red reward, and then your new ship is going to take its place. When you purchase a ship, you don't just pay the value, you just go all the way to 0. And then at the end of your turn, if your credits are less than your income, you just increase your credits to match your income. So it gives you basically income is going to give you a higher starting place to start from once you spend your credits. After the players have activated or purchased a card, then they can use charge abilities. So some of the abilities have squares, and when they get activated during the activation phase, you'll gain a charge cube to it. And then during this portion of the game, you can spin those charge cubes to basically get that award or ability. If the card was purchased, then we will replenish the shipyard. The active player is going to increase the credits up to their income, like I said, and then play proceeds clockwise. When a player hits 40 victory points, we play until that round is complete so that everybody gets the same number of turns. And whoever has the most victory points is the winner. If there is a tie, we play another full round and we keep playing until someone is clearly the winner. And that is everything with the Space Base.
Then let's play.
We just finished a game of Space Base. To recap, I had 21 space points. I feel like I've done space points before. Base points. BP had 39 base points, and Kiwi won with 41 base points. Strategy Kiwi.
I just tried to get cards and spread them out so that I was always getting something on every turn, no matter what. And then trying to get ones that sort of worked together. There were a couple of rounds where I had one where I was able to trigger like a chain to get like 3 sectors worth.
Yeah, you had an early combo that gave you quite a bit of money that triggered every turn.
Yeah, which then gave me level 3 ships. Which
I think you got to level 3 ships like 3 rounds before we did.
Yeah. And then from there, like that last little bit, I bought that colony ship because I saw that it would get me over 40.
How many points was that?
$33, and it gave me 11 points. But like it was an accident. There wasn't anything on the board that I wanted to buy. And then because of my rewards, I was able to get like big jumps in gold when you guys were rolling. So then it was like, well, it would be dumb to buy something low. I'll just keep saving until I could afford a big colony ship.
BP?
Well,
your early game was income. BP ended with 6 on income, and I think Kiwi had 1 and I had 0.
I was going for income because I was like, okay, I need money to buy stuff. And then when I heard you guys were, and then I was like, oh God, I need victory points. So I was like, I was seriously killing it on victory points until I heard like Eric be like, I'm going to pass. And I was like, why are you guys passing on buying stuff? And you're like, well, because we can buy these big cards.
That's not why I was still trying to buy level 3 ships. I wasn't even to the colony ships yet. Like,
yeah. And then Kiwi. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm going to totally then buy one of these big ships. And then Kiwi beat me to the punch. I was so close. And Eric, you had jinxed me. I'm blaming this. Yep. I'm putting this all on you.
That is true.
That's what I'm here for.
Putting it all on you. You were like, this is going to be a BP day. And I was like, dude, I can't believe you.
It's
just
not my fault if you choke.
Wow.
can't close it. I had some decent, like, I think eight through 10 cards early in the game and that I never rolled. And so I was like, well, let me flesh out all like the lower cards since you roll those more. I feel like by that point I was just too late. And there was no way for me to catch up. And I had a lot of like the charge cards that sucked. I don't know. I didn't have very good cards. I got no engine going. Theme. What did you think of the theme? Did you feel like a space-based Commodore?
No,
not at all.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go with that.
I don't even know what to say about the theme. Yeah, it's just like, no, I didn't. I just felt like I was collecting cards that had stuff on them. I wasn't even looking at the pictures.
No, there were. I mean, I guess there were different types of ships, right? I didn't pay attention to that at all.
Yeah, did not understand. Yeah, nope.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go with the theme. There's nothing.
So the theme in Monte Coro is you're building a town. For all intents and purposes, like the themes are interchangeable. Like this could have been towns as well. And instead of like deploying, it could have just been like people leaving town to go do other stuff.
I think that even makes more sense because there's no base on this board anywhere.
Well, I think the space base, like your base is all the ships that are docked there. And then you're sending them away and that's when they're deployed, I think.
All right, so we can jump to the art. What did you think of the art, BP?
I mean, it is like the cards do have some nice looking ships on them. But I mean, like you had said, like I didn't even realize there were differences. Like you're more concerned with what the points are or what the cards are going to give you than what's on the art, like and what the ships look like. And some of them look the box, I feel like almost oversells the art, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm generally a big fan of like ship designs and stuff, and I don't know that I looked at any of them. Part of it, I mean, the arts itself isn't bad, but I think, like you said, one, it really has nothing to do with the game. Two, there's so much other stuff going on that like I don't have time to look at the car, like the art. Like I'm too busy trying to figure out what all these symbols mean and remembering which ones I'm doing on each turn and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's way too bright. Like, I don't understand why we have all these neon colors and stuff. Like, it's a little bit of an eyesore to look at right now.
It was jarring. Like, when I first opened the board and you said something to me, I was like, I can't even focus my eyes on the thing you're talking about. Like, I was just like over eye stimulus or something.
Yeah, and it doesn't really match the box art or even the art on the front of the instruction booklet. Like, that art is much... not dark as in like darkly themed, but like the coloring is a lot darker and it's more like that 80s cartoon, like we said at the beginning, and that art doesn't really carry over. Like the style for the spaceships does, but just in terms of like brightness of the cut, like nowhere in these covers is there like neon stuff. Even a game like Dinosaur Island, which pulls like the box art is like super 80s with neon colors and all that craziness. But it doesn't follow over to the board pieces, which is what you stare at for the whole game. And that neon isn't there. Like, it's pleasant to look at Dinosaur Island, but the box art is a little bit of an eyesore. This is the exact opposite. And you're staring at this more than you are the box.
And I don't know that, like, it's necessarily the neon. It's more that, like, you also have, like, blue sections and red sections that mean a lot, as well as, like, blue or yellow icons and silver icons. And when you're bombarded with other colors, it's just hard to like quickly at a glance, like, yeah, how many times did I get the sector and the money confused, which shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it's because of everything else that your eyes are like, it's hard to like at a glance be like, oh, three gold, sector 4. Like, it's just too much. Mechanics, Kiwi.
So the mechanics are the same as Monte Coro. And I was trying to remember if there were like, I don't think in Monte Coro, the like passive awards worked the same way. I think you just got like you just had the 1 through 12 and you got whatever you're like. So if Eric rolled a 6, I got to do my 6.
Right.
It wasn't the deployed. So I think like this kind of makes more sense where once you deploy a ship, it's not worth the same amount. And you got more out of it as the game progressed. So like my 8 was pretty good. I got 9, like if somebody else rolled an 8, I got $9 and a victory point. That's pretty good. And like the 11, like it rolled twice on somebody else's turn and that got me 10 victory points just right there. So like I liked that aspect of it because it made you kind of think about, you know, do I want to get rid of this card for its alternate, its passive reward? Because those passive rewards, like they built up. Mm-hmm. I mean, BP's, 4, she was getting a hefty chunk out of that. And I think that's kind of where Eric fell behind because BP and I filled out our board. We had a lot of
I was trying. I just never had the money to do it.
And the number that should have statistically come up the most, 7, like Eric didn't have anything for 7.
And I looked for 7 cards every round. So like they weren't there.
They just got grabbed before. So other than that, like it plays just like Machikoro.
Some of it's interesting, like the deploying to sectors and then the flipping and getting reduced rewards and the build. I like that it was building up because we played some games like, I don't know, I played somewhere like you have to replace a card and you don't want to do it because you like your card. But this one, there was always like a, you're building up at least. So then you build up your rewards. Like I think BP had a couple that like were big rewards on the off turn. And I started to get there. My big complaint is like as engine building games, if you have a bad first couple rounds and you get behind and there's no way to catch up, like this is actually my same issue with Terraforming Mars. Like I played that one's a little worse because it's much longer. By the halfway point of this game, I knew I was out of it. And so now I got to sit here and watch you guys play out a game. Basically, it's not that fun to do. I wasn't a big fan of the fact that you can jump from 20 to end game, like pretty much in a turn.
Yeah, it was a round. I went from 20 to 41 in a round because of what you guys rolled.
And I was at 31, right?
Yep. And I was 10 behind.
Yeah.
You.
Like, I feel like BP deserved this one.
I was just like
halfway through, I was like, man, she's got a pretty solid engine. She's got a lot of cool stuff going on. But I mean, Kiwi also did well. So like they were close. The scores represented how close it was for them. Rules BP.
The whole activation of the cards thing, and there was always a lot of like explain what's on this card. I think you brought it up in the mechanics, Eric. Like it was really difficult in the beginning to start reading the cards. It was definitely like a good chunk of time into it where we started to understand what the cards were and what we were doing. And
yeah,
there's just a really great learning curve. And I mean, I'm noticing now, like the cards even have like, some of that flavor text, like here's this ship, here's what it is. But like,
do they?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they tell you what
it just has a name and a class,
which I mean, nobody pays attention to that. Cause again, there's so much going on and right. Rules rise, like the whole complicated, like, what does it mean to activate? Like, I just wanted to avoid the activation thing.
So BP avoided activation.
Because it seemed complicated. But apparently that's how you win.
No.
That's how Kiwi won?
Oh, activations? I had a couple.
I think I had the most activations because it was the only cards to fill the slots that I could get. And for the most part, they were more obnoxious than helping. And I'm pretty sure I forgot half of them.
So I feel like it was very heavy in the rules. It wasn't very clear by the way that the cards were laid out. I don't know.
Kiwi on the rules.
Yeah. So the rule book itself, like it's an AEG work rule book. So like it's laid out. Okay. It's
yes.
It's better than Ecos. Mm-hmm. Ecos, we had to look up stuff on the internet in order to find the answers, but I don't think it's as good as previous AEG rulebooks have been. Like it starts out talking about abilities. It's like this whole thing, like, so it's like important understanding rewards versus abilities. And it's got these two pages talking about rewards and abilities before it even gets to setup.
Like you're going to understand like that.
It bothers me. Yeah. And then a lot of the pages, like they've put fluff behind all these ships And so there are ships that have like little stories about how they got lost in time. And, you know, this incident led to the creation of the UES Department of Dimensional Investigation, the DDI for short. And like that's taken up a third of the page.
I want to play that game, though. I would like that story to be in the game.
It's got decent like examples, but there's two pages where it talks about space-based card lists by level, class, and then name. So it just has the ship name and what class it is. And like whether it's a starting ship, a level one ship, a level two, a level three, or a colony ship.
Which is not really relevant.
Yeah, it's a ton of wasted space. Like, I don't understand why there's backstory for all these ships. I think the rule book could have been laid out better, and then it could have been a smaller rule book. Like, it's 32 pages.
Oof. Yeah, that's a lot. And like, backstory and fluff is great if your game is like a story game. Like, why put all that effort in when the theme doesn't even come out in the game?
So I can't give a thumbs up for this.
We love you, AEG, but it just seems like consistently maybe they should, really refocus on their rule book structure and stuff. Player interaction? I like that it has the on your, like there's no downtime because you're doing things on everyone's turn. I do like that, but that's not necessarily interaction. That's more just like a good flow of the game.
Right.
In terms of like, I didn't really care what you were doing other than being extremely frustrated that I couldn't be doing that.
But it's the same feeling with all drafting games. Like, I drafted the thing you want, and so now you have to do something else.
No, I don't mean that. I meant like you have a cool combo that's going off every round, and I'm very frustrated that I never got my combo to work. Really care what anybody else was doing. Was one of the weird things to me, because I was like, oh, cool, there's like space sectors and we're going to be competing over space sectors. It's like, I thought like if I was in sector 9, you guys couldn't be there unless you like kicked me out of sector 9. Like, I thought that was like the whole influence of carriers kind of thing.
Yeah,
but the fact that we were all just there, like we all could have dropped a colony ship. I don't know, because I think those are different numbers. But you know what I mean? Like, we could all be doing the thing in the sector. And
one of the reasons Kiwi had to keep prodding me as I was looking at furniture at IKEA. So just so you know.
Well, that explains that.
So would you play it again, Kiwi?
Nope.
Wow.
In fact, I have been waiting for this point to say that I was going to save up for the very tippy top colony ship, but then I realized that I could end the game and not have to play anymore. So I bought the lowest thing or the cheapest thing I could that would end the game because I didn't want to play it anymore.
There you go. BP, would you play it again?
Only if I needed some side entertainment while I was shopping.
Like, there's a lot of options for that.
Only if I didn't have to pay
attention. Only if I didn't have to be playing it. I enjoyed it the least, so I think that gives you an idea where I might stand on it.
So what's up? Like, if this is the build-off, like, everybody's been so into Machi Koro, and if this is supposed to be, like, a space version of Machi Koro, like, what are we missing?
I'm surprised, because I thought generally Kiwi liked engine builders, and so I'm mostly surprised that you really didn't enjoy it at all.
And I think if I had to pick between the two, between this and Machi Koro, like, Machi Koro is much easier on the eyes. Mm-hmm. And I would rather play Machi Koro because I wouldn't have to stare at this neon mess for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Wow.
Strong feelings there, sir.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think BP's question is very good. Like, I don't know what we're missing that everyone is enjoying. I mean, everybody has different tastes, and there have definitely been some games that people are like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And all three of us have not liked it. Or maybe I've liked it and other people haven't, but I don't understand.
Most of the time we can go, I appreciate that this is what people like about it. Like, innovation off the top of my head is one that you would play again. I don't think BP and I would, but like, I get what people like about it. I just don't want to put the time in to like get to the level of enjoyment. I don't know. Like, it was just not my style, I guess. But right. I get what is great about it.
Okay. Yeah. And there's definitely been games where we've all three of us have said we wouldn't play it again, but we understand why people like it.
Right. But this falls into the Skulls category of like, what?
Yes.
That there were very few games that we would play Skulls over this. So would you play Skulls over this?
Yes.
I mean, the thing about Skulls is it takes 3 minutes. So like, right? We spent
so an hour and 20 minutes.
I don't know. So there you go. That's Space Base. We don't get it.
Yeah. Like one of the things I was going to say is if you all could explain to us maybe what we are missing, please send that our way or any recommendations you want to hear us talk about. So that is firstturntabletop@gmail.com or Twitter and Instagram @firstturncast. And the Space Podcasting Camel, there's a line of t-shirts in my head coming. And so this one is a camel in space with a big cosmonaut helmet on. And he says, please, 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 please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe your favorite podcatchers. I don't like you keep using your charge cubes, but they just confuse me so much.
Some of them are pretty straightforward. Some of them a little weird.
The probability is lower, obviously, but it's not super low.
BP, think about the probability.
Oh, right. Yep. That's
Think about math. Six, so that I can then activate that, which does my thing to my right, so I get a coin.
Oh my god!
And then it does my thing to my right, and I get 7 coins, which takes me up to
so much.